Hello, I'm Kara Kinsler, and you're listening to Inside IASB, the podcast series that explores leadership and education topics as they relate to school board responsibilities. The Illinois Association of School Boards, IASB for short, invite guests from Illinois public school districts to offer insight about current and best practices. In this series, IASB Field Services Director Dee Molinari and I explore a set of guiding principles that describe the fundamental duties of board service for close to 6,000 school board member volunteers elected or appointed to oversee their public schools. The Illinois Association of School Boards, which serves nearly 850 boards of education, call these the foundational principles of effective governance. We will unpack each of the six principles to help listeners understand what they mean, their significance in the oversight role of the school board, and how they are actually put to work in a functioning school board. Dee, in our last episode, we dug into the fifth foundational principle of effective governance, the board monitors performance. We learned how boards use data to monitor progress toward district ends. This is the final episode of this series because it is the sixth principle we will be talking about. The board takes responsibility for itself. This principle states that the board collectively and individually takes full responsibility for board activity and behavior, the work it chooses to do, and how it chooses to do the work. Individual board members are obligated to express their opinions and respect others' opinions. However, board members understand the importance of abiding by the majority decisions of the board.
We spoke with Naperville Community Unit District 203, Superintendent Dan Bridges and Board President Kristen Fitzgerald. We asked them how often they review their own behavior, processes, and norms as a group, and if they've established protocols or agreements in place for how they communicate with one another. They mentioned a board self-evaluation, which they conduct once a year and review these agreements. Let's listen to what they had to say.
We do, and they're excellent. They're really strong agreements that we've worked on with Illinois Association of School Boards through our self-evaluation process each year. And we have a great set of agreements that we stick to because that's the other portion of it. The agreements are only as good as your adherence to them. So we're really committed to that. And we think that's a really important part of governing ourselves.
And I would just add that I think an important part of that is that the board reviews it at least annually as part of its self-evaluation. And from time to time, as instances occur, recommendations from other board members, the board reviews them and considers maybe, you know, additions or updates as required.
We review our board agreements. We talk about governance. We focus on all the various areas of being a highly effective board.
Yeah, I think if I can just say one thing that I've found very effective with this board is the use of the agreements to kind of have conversations with each other if things aren't going right, or an individual board member may make a comment or do something that isn't aligned to the working together agreements. Board members will specifically say, you know, this is part of our agreements and this is what it says we will do or how we will act.
Superintendent Bridges said that the board does a really good job of holding itself accountable, and President Fitzgerald talks about no surprises.
Yeah, they do. It's just, there have been instances over the past few years where an individual board member may, I don't think intentionally or in a harmful way, behave in a manner that isn't aligned with the agreements, and board members then will refer back to the agreements to remind each other and to correct action. We agreed to these things. And I think what also helps with the effectiveness of those agreements, it's really an agreement among the eight of us, not just the board itself. A lot of our protocols within the agreements speak to how we'll work with the superintendent as a board, not as individual board members.
We hold ourselves accountable for those actions too, with regard to our superintendent. You know, that's one of the things where, for example, the no surprises of, you know, making sure that the superintendent isn't surprised and the board members aren't surprised. And little items like giving the superintendent a heads up if you're going to be in a building. That's one we forget a lot. And if we do forget it, then we apologize and we get back on track.
A board that has a high level of trust can hold each other accountable to the board's role. This board's culture allows not only the board, but individual board members to take responsibility for staying in their governance role.
I think it's really important as board leaders to be committed to hearing every voice, treating every voice respectfully, encouraging every voice to speak up. And I think there are parts of leadership that are looking at that, whether it's working with new members and really supporting them and encouraging them to speak up, or whether it's following up on something that someone might be really passionate about and talking it through. These are all really important things that our board is really committed to. And we have a really positive board culture. And I think that makes a really big difference, because if your board is struggling within itself, that's bad for students. And so that's the thing. We all have to, you know, work through our issues, come to agreement, move forward so that the district can go forward.
Thinking about the election cycle and school boards turning over members every couple of years with the election, or at other times when vacancies occur, we asked how the board ensures continuity and leadership. They shared a little about their board's mentoring process for onboarding new board members.
Well, why don't I let our superintendent start with what the portion that he covers with our new members, and then I'll cover the portion that we do as board leaders.
Right. So we have worked to develop kind of an onboarding plan that has evolved as new board members have come on, and we've kind of said, you know, what was really effective and, you know, what do you need more of? And a lot of the onboarding really on my end begins with overviews of the district beliefs, vision, and mission, talking about our strategic planning and the work that's within our short, intermediate, and long-term goals, and then introductions to members of my team, and talking about kind of what their specific roles are. So the onboarding process will involve time with our CFO, Chief School Business Official, to talk about our budget and the levy process and everything that goes is involved with that. Our Chief Human Resources Officer, who will walk through kind of how we address, you know, what the hiring process looks like, the board member's role in terms of that, and versus what the administration's role is on that. And then I think one thing that, you know, nobody signs up to be a board member to deal with student discipline. And that's a challenging one. So, you know, my assistant superintendents in our organization who oversee our principals and work on the discipline issues, we'll kind of walk through that process to let them know kind of how a hearing in regard to a suspension appeal or a potential recommendation for an alternative placement in lieu of expulsion or something like that, what that might look like and what their role will be. And then, you know, unfortunately, I'll spend time with them walking through our litigation and the you know, kind of pending legal cases to really do our best to try to give them the foundational set of, okay, you just started, but here's what's already going on. And it's kind of funny sometimes watching a new board member have on their first, as soon as they've just been sworn in, be asked to vote on something, right? And so I think the more once the election occurs, leading up to that actual taking the seat, we spend a lot of time trying to get them up to speed as quickly as possible. And then Kristen and board members from that point really talk more about their role. So I'll let Kristen kind of share that part.
So then we meet with new board members, or generally it would be me, meets with a new board member and goes through those Board of Education agreements. So sort of unpacks what we mean by something like no surprises, or what we mean and why we have these kinds of practices. And so really go through that, talk about some of the unique things about our board, like our board adopt-a-schools and the kinds of things we do there, and our board committees and what kind of work we do there, just to kind of give background. We also, sometimes we have a process where someone will choose an individual mentor, and we've used that on occasion. And then we'll sometimes have a case where someone says, hey, I want to get everyone's thoughts and perspective, and has coffee with each board member, and you know, kind of works through what are your suggestions in this area, what are yours. I think another area that really helps us on a weekly basis, when we're working to set our agenda, our board vice president and president meet with our superintendent to go through the issues that we're going to be coming upon in the board. Any background that our superintendent shares with us as a part of that issue, we share that with our board members each week. So we have individual background calls, just short, just to say, hey, you know, this is something in the background you might not know about, just so that then those questions that come to the superintendent ahead of the board meeting are rich. They're full of, you know, any kind of thing that that you might have from history. And then our superintendent can really get on top of those questions, and we're ready to have a really good dialogue at the board meeting.
Dee, from your experience working with boards of education, would you say this kind of dialogue is unique to this district or something common across many boards?
Because this board really focuses on establishing trust and living up to the no surprises, no secrets protocol, President Fitzgerald does a great job explaining what is meant by abiding by the majority. And for boards who are in their spot where there is trust and respect and good communication, you can have conversations with one another about staying in the roles, or it's not getting into the weeds or the how of the work.
So I think that means that every board member has their viewpoint, but that when we have expressed that viewpoint and we do our best to really get that out there and hear everyone's perspective, we make a decision and then we go with that decision. That's the decision that the board, when they're talking, you know, on behalf of the board, that's the decision that they represent as a board member. They're certainly welcome to through, I think that the policy is ethical channels, seek change, you know, so maybe the next year they advocate for something different. But I think as we're going forward, we all go with one voice to talk about the board decisions. I think holding ourselves accountable is also holding ourselves accountable to our role. So one of the things that boards can sometimes get into if they don't watch themselves is getting in the weeds. So getting into more of those staff type decisions. And this is an ongoing thing with our superintendent to check ourselves and ensure that we're on governance, goal setting, holding accountable, hearing the data, as opposed to, you know, how's it getting done? Right. And I think that's something that boards and superintendents really have to work together on to ensure that they are focused on good governance and holding themselves accountable to where their role.
Reiterating what we just heard from President Fitzgerald, good governance requires the board to be responsible for itself, its processes, and contributions. We want to thank Superintendent Dan Bridges and President Kristen Fitzgerald for their time talking to us on this principle of good governance. And we again thank the district leaders in all of our previous 5 episodes. And that's a wrap for this first podcast series, Inside IASB. Dee, it's truly been a pleasure getting to learn with you and from you about the fundamentals of good governance, and especially hearing from school board members in several districts of how they practice effective leadership strategies. Listeners, we hope you've enjoyed it. We hope you've learned something. If you liked this podcast series, have ideas or other topics to explore in this format, we welcome your input. You can submit questions and comments as a voicemail on our anchor.fm page at anchor.fm/ILSchoolBoards. Meanwhile, share and follow Inside IASB episodes available at www.iasb.com/podcast, and we welcome listener feedback.